You don't need to. You're an errand boy. Sent by grocery clerks. To collect a bill.
You walk into this room at your own risk. Because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has refinements, technological advances.
No, it's White Aryan Resistance, pal. Yeah, we're right on here right now in north central Indiana as the wind is blowing pretty hard here today. I think it's trying to blow up another rainstorm. This is Terrible Tommy, and we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations for the radio show and encourage your friends to sign up, too. And some of this money we can spread around to like the POWs and things like that and other projects. Incidentally, I'm on Twitter, in case anybody wants to say anything. I had an account, but I hadn't been using it. So anyhow, I'm on Twitter. Also, we're running one show a week over on Blog Talk, and that's Might Is Right program over there, in case you want to go over and listen to some of those shows. I just wanted to remind you that the recent studies show that nearly 50% of the country is obesely overweight. Now, what would happen if we were invaded by some army? I don't think we'd do too well, man. We better get shaped up. And when the feds are chasing you down through the woods, man, you better be lean and mean machine and ready to go, man. Well, it's Saturn's Day, and this is September the 20th, 2014, Saturn's Day. And this is the day we sometimes put on Sling Blade's back shows. So Sling Blade told me that, I think I told you, he got flooded out here a few weeks ago. He lost a whole lot of his notes and papers and books and everything else, and I haven't heard from him since, so I hope he didn't drown. I'm sure he'll be back someday. So here we go with Sling Blade, and I'm not sure of the date of this, because for some reason they weren't dated. Sorry.
Metzger, a couple of things for him to put on the News and Views. One of them is a picture of a sign in a shopping mall in Houston, Texas. And the shop in the shopping mall is owned by Muslims. And the sign says that on September 11th, I guess either it was the last year that just went by or whatever, said that the shop was going to close due to them wanting to honor the memory of one of the guys who flew one of the planes into the building. These are Muslims who own a store in a shopping mall in Houston, Texas, closing their door on a certain day to honor one of the guys who flew a plane into one of the towers, you know, into the World Trade Center. And another sign is to do a comparison between U.S. borders and other borders. And another one, it's basically stating the facts that if you cross the border into Iran, you go into prison. If you cross the border into China, they may execute you. But if you cross the border of the United States, you're given a job, a license, a driver's license, welfare, all kinds of stuff. It's very interesting when you read this one, just the stark contrast between how our border was treated and how all the other borders in the world.
Well, this is because the people don't rise up and do anything about it. If these Muslims can run their sign up there and celebrate the downing of the Twin Towers, fine. There's nobody going to do anything about it except whine, and that's the way it goes. So what do you expect, everybody?
So, you know what I mean? Those ragheads, those sand niggers, whatever you want to call them, would have never pulled that in the 1950s. Would have never had a sign up honoring some guy who killed Americans. He would have been tarred and feathered. Now, if you don't understand that they are losing all fear, what little fear and respect they have for us, they're losing it. Most of the non-white world have already lost it. They see the white race as doormats. And they are infused with this ideology that we owe them something. And it's, I'm telling you, if we don't start doing something about this, then we got some very barbaric days headed our way.
But
that's
we
the
are
only
doormats.
Thing non-whites respect.
We are doormats.
It's violence. Am I an advocate of violence? Absolutely.
Naughty boy.
So Radio Rojo is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network, headed up by Tom Metzger. Tom can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write Tom a letter and send it to P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are taking advantage of that lending library, learning some things. It's my contention that there is a...
No, they didn't take advantage of the lending library. You're the only one, I believe, that did. So what can I say?
Percentage of people in the white separatist struggle, you just can't tell them nothing. They think because they mosh around in a mosh pit at some skinhead show, and I'm not even talking about skinheads. When I describe this, I'm not even specifically speaking of skinheads. But too many people that I see in the struggle with short hair or long hair, you can't tell them nothing. They think because they can shout nigger at a skinhead party, or they can swill a lot of beer, and they got some buddies that may back them up with things get heated, that they think they don't need to learn anything. That's one of the things that really pisses me off about the struggle. Nobody's real, well, I don't want to say nobody, I'm just saying the people that I've met, everyone I've met so far, I can't think of one person who's gone out of his way to learn military tactics, learn military hardware, study police tactics, and study police and Praetorian Guard.
In fact, a whole lot of people in the right wing are losers. I went up to Chicago, two or three years ago and met with some of those guys up there. They were losers. They acted like losers in the whole bit. And I can tell you, give you some good reasons for it, too, of why they're losers, but I don't have time for that. So, most of the right-wing people that you meet nowadays, the right wing, I'm ashamed that they're white people. I do feel that way.
Blog agencies of law enforcement, how they do things, I don't see them, you know, really getting into the martial arts. I mean, martial arts that are street applicable. I have not met one So every so often, I hope, you know, if this gets under your skin that I talk about this too much, well, you know, I'm not on this show to win a popularity contest.
Me neither.
I see that there's a need in the struggle, and I'm going to keep talking about it. So if you're going to be part of this struggle, you need to be serious about always improving. Always improving yourself. Your greatest enemy in this struggle is not even Zog. It's the person that is within you. Who is the person that is within you that is keeping you from stepping outside the box to act, to think of it, different ways to resist? Who is inside you that is keeping you paralyzed by fear? You should always be striving to better yourself with knowledge, and if you can do so with your position in life, so much the better. I can't stress enough, you young guys, if you're going to go to college, learn something technical. You know, chemical engineer, electrical, mechanical, structural engineer, stuff like that, is those skills are indispensable. Learn welding. Learn stuff that you can create with your hands, you know. I mean, if you guys don't want to go to college, you know, go to a technical school. Believe me, I just want to disabuse you guys of this notion of going into college and you're going to get a degree in sociology and think you're going to change things from within. Those fields, sociology, anthropology, and even psychology, and even philosophy, the philosophy classes I've taken in college, I never got a degree because I was blackballed because of a paper I wrote. I think I've told you guys that story. Even the philosophy classes I taught, you know, we talked about Western philosophy, but, you know, they had to include Asian philosophy and Hindu philosophy. And I'm not saying, I mean, it's not a totally bad thing to even read up on that stuff to see how they think. But to put it on some kind of platform that they're all equal in their intelligence and in complexity, there's no comparison. There's no comparison to Western philosophy. So every now and then, I just have to harp on things and to beat a dead horse, because I don't know anyone out there in the radio club. I just hope you guys are striving to learn all you can to get in the best physical shape you could possibly get into. You know, to treat your body as a temple. You know, if you got a drug problem, you need to stop. If you guys don't want to stop, then that means you really don't want to be a true insurgent. Yeah, look at your own life and see where you're weak. And don't rest on your laurels. Don't say, well, I was like this 10 years ago. So what? What are you like now? You always have to compare yourself to the present. Where am I at now? Our greatest external enemy is Zog and the white sellouts who are in the realm of business and politics. But I think maybe an enemy that we have overlooked is the enemy within our own selves. What do we believe and why do we believe it? So write Tom a letter at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana 46581. Check out the Paranoid Newsletter, training DVDs, and that's where you can send donations. You can call the Aryan Update line at 574-267-5036. And if you want to scrawl on the walls of bathroom stalls in the Chicago metropolitan area, let that number be 847-890-6164. I need to get up there sometime and change that message. I mean, I've mentioned everything that I need to talk about, you know, resist.com and how we're different than...
That number is no longer any good as far as I know, so don't waste your time. Don't waste your time.
Membership organizations and so forth. As usual, I want to start off with a reading from William Gailey Simpson's Which Way, Western Man. believe this one I'm about to read now comes out of the chapter on aristocracy. Aristocracy, I mean, he made the argument in this chapter that it's much better than a democracy. Let me say right now, I have no problem serving an organic aristocracy led by a philosopher king type of person who has a benevolent worldview towards the white race in a society like that. I have no problem being a sweep.
Always remember, there is no such thing as democracy. The ones that have been tried have always failed. This is not a democracy. And it's not an aristocracy. All governments are oligarchy, ruled by the few, when you get right down to it. Don't forget that. Rule by the few.
Streeper, or the most lowliest position. I have no problem with it. I would rather be that than living in this society making $500,000. And I'm not saying that to be shocking or trying to present myself something that I'm not. I truly mean that. I would much rather be in an all-white society, a healthy all-white society, who is ruled by an upper class that is always striving to better themselves, to be a bridge to Superman, and for they themselves to help bridge that gap to Superman. I'm not talking about the DC comic either. I'm talking about Nietzsche's philosophy to Superman. Modern man is a bridge between ape man, what we used to be, and Superman, to what we can be in the future with proper breeding, eugenics. I'm talking about a healthy white society. I have no problem working my ass off at the lowliest position, having my money taxed to support an upper class echelon of Aryans whose only focus is to better the race. I have no problem with that, and I hope you don't either. All right, here we go with William Gailey Simpson and the chapter on aristocracy. But as far as we are concerned, we Americans, we modern white men of Western civilization, among us, it is not going to get started, not as any form of social organization. He's talking about an aristocracy. Not in our day. Our chance to build this way has gone. The whole tradition has been thoroughly destroyed. Our way to a new aristocracy lies through chaos. We shall first have to become ashes before the phoenix of a new nobility shall... God damn it. Here I am, marble mouth again. We shall first have to become ashes before the phoenix of a new nobility shall rise in our midst. But if the world holds together, there will at last be those, a few, always a few, who will again start the old long climb toward the heights, and again lay out the road to a world in which superiority of every sort shall thrive. In the meantime, there is work enough for us Aryan men to do. Despite all appearances to the contrary, what has been and what shall be are not sundered. The future shall be born out of the womb of the past. To wit, invisible arteries must carry the blood and the heartbeat of the human greatness that has been. Here we must keep faith. We cannot, in a day like this, when everything is falling, hope to build a new aristocracy. But we can ourselves be noble, and we can undertake to nourish and foster all the spiritual treasure of the past, which shall sustain and guide the reaching life of man when again it is time to build. Let us then love and reverence all that has made men great, and let us speak out in all that we think and say and feel and do. When he says great men, you know, I don't have to reiterate, he's talking about white men. I mean, you guys know that, right? He's not talking about all man. He's talking about Western man. Let it speak out in all that we think, say, and feel and do. in every look of us, in the very look of us. Let us go down in death rather than even lower our standard or bend the knee to the new all-conquering barbarian. Let us keep vigil through the night that is ahead. Alone if we must, but better if we can, with a group close-knit with still other groups, all believing in man, believing in what man has done and in what man shall yet do again. Pledge to the end to keep alive the great... Turning the page... The great tradition, which contains both the secret of what man has been and the promise of Superman. It's well said, but there are some things in that passage Revel Oliver said in a speech one time, he said he said it in What We Owe Our Parasites, he said basically, don't think that something's not going to happen to you just because it's evil. And don't think that your future lies ahead of you. Don't think that it's going to be good just because it's good. I mean, the worst thing can befall us in the future if we're not careful. Don't think just because we are the most noblest race on this planet that we don't stand the very possibility of getting off the planet. And I totally agree with the new way to this new type of being, the new type of white man that could rise up, is through chaos. If the world stays as it is, with no breakdown anywhere, black, brown, and yellow will breed us out of existence. They already have a large portion of the world's landmass, and now they're taking over our parts of the world. And because we've lost our territorial imperative, if we don't do something soon, it could be too late for us. If the things stay the way they are in Europe, the white race is gone out of Europe easily by 2100. Or that they are a minute minority on the European landmass. There's some demographers that have said that by 2090, only 10% of Europe will be Caucasian, will be white. So if things go on as they are, we're out of here. You better hope for some kind of disruption, something that's going to keep these black, brown, and yellow, dare I say, parasites, from breeding like they are. Something has to be done. All right. Last show I did, I talked about fluoride. I talked about infrared technologies and what has a high emissivity count and what doesn't. Now I want to talk about something called stealthbag.com. Question is, want to buy some fluoro camouflage? The stealth bag keeps your heat in for survival and has an aluminized color when turning the bag inside out to aid reducers to spot you visually. The stealth bag has chocolate chip desert camo pattern for visual camouflage and still retains radiant body heat so that the user cannot be picked up by infrared seeking instruments. Now you can find this at stealthbag.com. stealthbag.com. The stealth bag was tested on a variety of commercial and military grade infrared detection equipment. The highly regarded FLIR, that's Forward Looking Infrared, Incorporated, model 2000AB, chopper mounted IR, that's infrared detector, operating in a 8-14 micron wavelength range, was unable during a 30-minute test to locate three individuals inside stealth bags. when the original land shark was introduced. Land shark, I don't know what that is. It's land in big capital letters with a backslash, and then shark in smaller letters. When the original land backslash shark was introduced, SOF, Special Operation Forces, I guess, ran tests with a Life Finder handheld IR detector with similar results. By the way, there's a thing out there. It's either called a life scan or a life detector or a life finder. Basically, it's about the size of a regular house flashlight. You know, let's say you got a house, okay, and the back of your house is in the back of your house is like a forest preserve, and you can go out there and it doesn't emit any light. You just hold it like a flashlight and you scan your property. It will pick up any type of life force, any type of person that has, you know, has thermal a plume about them. I believe it can distinguish between human and animal. I'm not sure. I don't know if a buck, if a deer, or an elk will confuse it with a human. I'm not sure about that, but I know if you're hiding in the woods, I think you got to be deep down behind some kind of cover in order not to be picked up by it. But it doesn't have any imagery. It's just you hold it like a flashlight, and I think it either vibrates or does some kind of tone if it picks up on somebody who's hiding in the woods. It's called a life scan or a life finder, something like that, or life detector. And I guess some Special Operation Forces ran tests with a life finder handheld IR detector, and they did not locate the people in the stealth bags. Weighing less than a G.I. poncho. Oh, a government-issued poncho. Weighing less than a government-issued poncho, the stealth bag comes vacuum-packed for long-term storage in a Mylar bag in a 600-denier nylon carrying pouch. After a knife, it is now the first item that gets put in our go pack for certain protection against whatever elements one may encounter on land, sea, or air. I'm telling you, I got to get one of these. I've never heard of this. The stealth bag is available at an introductory discount price of $49.95 plus $6.99 for shipping and handling from Corporate Air Parts. Corporate Air Parts, Corporate Air Parts, IAR, and then Parts, PARTS, Department SOF, 7641 Densmore Avenue. Densmore is Densmore, Densmore Avenue, Van Nuys, California. VANNUYS, Van Nuys, California, 61406-2043. And the phone number, I guess, for that company is 818-997-0512. And they have a fax number also, 818-997-0478. And the website is www.stealthbag.com. Remember when I talked about the apocalypse bag? In case you haven't, you'll hear it in an upcoming show. This is something I didn't know that this existed. I definitely want to check into getting one of these. All right, comments on FLIR from Law Enforcement Discussion Board. FLIR is a sort of video camera, but it doesn't see visible light. It senses minute differences in temperatures and assigns various shades to them according to what's hottest and coldest. This results in ghost-like images that look reversed, like a photographic negative. What's most impressive is that FLIR can see through thin foliage as well as rain and snow, and those capabilities can be just as important in daylight as in darkness. That would sound like the end of the world to a sniper if there were no means to counter it, but there are. I'm not going to be too specific. Bad guys can read too. LWDC, yes, we are reading your manuals and we have our own, so fuck you. LWDC, what's that? It says, I'm not going to be too specific, and it says in parentheses, bad guys can read too. Then it says LWDC. I wonder what that is. Oh! That Lone Wolf DC? Huh. Maybe, alright, for the sake of argument, maybe it says Lone Wolf DC, yes, we are reading your manuals, and we have our own, so fuck you. I don't know how to take that sentence. Is that an anti-Lone Wolf DC statement, or is that Lone Wolf DC stating, hey, I have our own manual, so fuck you system? I don't know how to take that. I hope somebody isn't talking bad shit about Lone Wolf DC. But I think it's obvious that if you can change your external body temperature or make it close to the temperature of things around you, think of it as another way of camouflaging yourself into your surroundings. Then the FLIR won't be able to distinguish you. There's a true story about a Marine sniper gunny at Quantico who purchased an item at a flea market for $2. Lone Wolf DC, if that's what LWDC stands for. It says LWDC, it was an umbrella, you cocksucker. I hope no one's talking shit about Lone Wolf. You know what? Whoever wrote this needs to specify. You know, if it's anti-Lone Wolf DC, say Lone Wolf DC, comma, it was an umbrella, you cocksucker, or something. All right, item at a flea market for $2. I guess it was an umbrella. And used it to hide from a multi-million dollar thermal detection system with several congressmen watching. Yes, FLIR can be fooled. A thermal detection resistant ghillie suit has been developed in Britain that vents and deflects body heat to reduce the wearer's thermal image. I'm not sure how effective it actually is on this side of the Atlantic. Custom concealment makes two ghillie suits specially modified to enhance their resistance to thermal detection. Examining FLIR photos of demonstrators wearing these suits, I don't think there can be any question that the heat signature has been reduced, and quite a bit. Wow, so they got thermal detection resistant ghillie suits. Chances are maybe only law enforcement or military gets that, but if we can get our hands on a couple of them, that would be great. Even more novel approach has been that of a Greek defense contractor, Intermat Group SA, which developed an anti-thermal cream applied to exposed parts of the body, face, arms, and hand, where heat is registered by a FLIR most easily. The dense cream blocks heat dissipation, thereby reducing the wearer's thermal signature. This is a serious product from a manufacturer that already makes paints serious and specialized, coatings for helmets. Talking about uniforms and vehicles to reduce their detection by infrared systems. They may actually have something, since all the FLIR images I've seen are brightest at the very spots that this cream would cover. I wouldn't be too concerned about the enemy using FLIR against us, since it is more of a future threat than a current one. If the day comes that an enemy uses FLIR against us, we've already have the techniques and the technology to counter it. I mean, I'm glad about this. I remember doing Ghost Wolf radio shows talking about FLIR. You know, that's why if you have to escape and evade, if you have to go through a wooded area to get to point A to point B, fine. But if you're going to hide out in the woods, if you don't know nothing about thermal detection resistance and stuff like that, you'll be seen. Comments from a FLIR manufacturer. How does rain and fog affect the range of my FLIR camera? A thermal imaging camera produces an image based on the differences in thermal radiation that an object emits. In essence, the farther this infrared signal has to travel from the target to the camera, the more of that signal can be lost along the way, such as, or as such, the attenuation factor needs to be taken into account. That is the ratio of the incident radiation, turning the page, incident radiation to the radiation transmitted through a shielding material. Humid air acts as a shield for infrared radiation. Summer month atmospheres usually have a higher attenuation compared to winter months due to the increased humidity levels. Therefore, assuming clear skies and good weather conditions, you will be able to see farther with a thermal imaging camera in winter than in summer. Right, because the surrounding area is cold and you're hot, so you'll stand out. Humid air is just one example how infrared radiation can be lost. There are other climatic conditions which are far more detrimental to the range of a thermal imaging camera. Rain and fog can severely limit the range of a thermal imaging system due to scattering of light off droplets of water. The higher the density of droplets, the more the infrared signal is diminished. An important question that customers ask is how much rain or fog will limit the range performance of a thermal infrared camera, and how does this compare to the range in the visible region of the spectrum? Under the caption of fog classifications, fog is a visible aggregate of minute water droplets suspended in the atmosphere at or near the surface of the Earth. When air is almost saturated with water vapor, this means that the relative humidity is close to 100% and that fog can perform in the presence of a sufficient number of condensation nuclei. Nuclei? Sufficient number of condensation nuclei, which can be smoke or dust particles. There are different types of fog. Advection, A-D-V-E-C-T-O-T-I-O-N. Advection fog is formed through the mixing of two air masses with different temperatures and or humidity. Another form is radiative fog. This is formed in the process of radiative cooling of the air at temperatures close to the dew point. Some fog banks are denser than others because the water droplets have grown bigger through accretion. A-C-C-R-E-T-I-O-N. In fog conditions, droplets can absorb more water and grow considerably in size. The question whether scattering is less in the IR wave band compared to the visible range depends on the size distribution of the droplets. There are different ways to classify fog. An often used classification is the one used by the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO. According to this system, fog can be classified in four categories. Category 1, visual range, and that's 1,220 meters. Category 2, visual range, 610 meters. Category 3A, visual range, 305 meters. Category 3C, visual range 92 meters. The reason for degradation of visibility in a foggy atmosphere is the absorption and scattering of natural or artificial illumination by fog particles. The amount of absorption and scattering depends on the microphysical structure of the fog particles, which are also called aerosols. Interesting. Under moderate resolution propagation model, and it's called MODTRAN, M-O-D-T-R-A-N, I guess. MODTRAN is an atmospheric radiative transfer code created and supported by the United States Air Force. It has the ability to model the atmosphere under a variety of atmospheric conditions. It can predict atmospheric properties, including path radiances, path transmission, sky radiances, and sky-reaching solar and lunar irradiances. Lunar irradiances, that's moon But the second word is IRRADIANCES. Irradiances. Yes. Never heard that word before. All right. For a wide range of wavelength and spectrum resolutions, ModTrain enables the calculation of transmittance and radiance in a wide spectral range. It offers 6 climate models of different geographical latitudes and seasons. The model also defines 6 different aerosol types which can appear in each of the climates. Each of the climate models can be combined with the different aerosols. How far can you see through fog and rain with a thermal imaging camera will also depend on the climate in which you are using the camera and the type of aerosol which is present in this specific climate. In general, the comparison of the different aerosols shows that maritime aerosols always result in the lowest detection range independent of the climate model. Listen, guys, I had to go back and record over some of this stuff talking about fog specification. I thought it was just boring. Let me jump ahead here, save on time. By the way, you want to know more about this? Subscribe to the Paranoid Newsletter. I hope that you don't think of me doing these shows. I only do these shows on Paranoid Newsletter to kind of like wet your whistle. Say, hey, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about a lot of things. Let me check this Paranoid Newsletter out. Okay, conclusion of results. According to these models, CAT 1 and CAT 2 types of fog, the thermal infrared band offers better range performance compared to the visual band, such as thermal infrared cameras are well suited to look through these types of fog. The model suggests that thermal imaging cameras are potentially useful as landing aids for planes or as part of a driver vision enhancement system for the transportation and automotive industry. The model suggests that fog penetration is higher in the long wavelength infrared compared to the mid-range or mid-wave. The model suggests that the fog penetration is higher in the LWIR compared to the MWIR band in all studied cases. For CAT 2 type of fog, the LWIR spectral band offers about 4 times better range performance compared to the MWIR band. I'm jumping ahead here. I hate sounding like a fucking dumbass. All right. Rain can sufficiently reduce targets' contrast due to increased atmospheric scattering and general obscuration. And LWIR and MWIR perform similarly in presence of rain. IR system performance degradation due to rain is very range sensitive, whereby there is a dramatic drop-off in the 150-meter range. Just like it is possible to give a simple answer to the question, how far can I see with a thermal imaging camera, is equally impossible to say how much shorter the range will be in foggy or rainy conditions. This is not only dependent on the atmospheric conditions and the fog and the type of fog, but is also dependent on the IR camera used and on the properties of the target, size, temperature difference of the target and background, etc. For more information, it says marijuana growers are frequently concerned about FLIR detection of their grow houses. Specifically, law enforcement officers look for heat signatures put off by the powerful indoor lighting systems. There are heat shielding products, videos on defeating FLIR, etc., produced by and for marijuana growers. Look into these materials and products for the most up-to-date countermeasures. Whether you like drug dealers or not, these people have to worry about FLIR on a regular basis. Learn from them. Cool. There's a picture here of some highlighted silhouettes. It's a Border Patrol intercepting illegal immigrants crossing the border. Notice how hot the uncovered face is compared to everything else. I'm looking at these white silhouettes, and it looks like they got something around their face. It says, notice how hot the uncovered faces compared with everything else. I can't tell the difference, honestly. If you aren't prepared, you can defeat FLIR. Some readers have inquired as to why the Paranoid Newsletter includes so much technical information. Wouldn't it be easier to speak in general sense about the topics covered? We will never dumb down our publication to appeal to the masses. All right, well, you just answered something I said on another show then. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to complain. I'm just glad that there are guys smarter than me doing this stuff out there. I'm just going to put the information out there. I sound like I'm getting frustrated only because I don't like sounding stupid when I'm reading. So I may be a stickler for punctuation and stuff like that, but don't listen to me. You know, the guy who wrote this up, if you hear this show or whatever, you're doing a great service, and I really appreciate you putting this information out there. I'm not putting this information out there for me to make me sound good or for me to be, you know, some kind of rock star. Absolutely not. If anything, I think I sound stupid reading this stuff, but I think it's so important that everyone out there knows. And I just can't stress it enough that everyone in the radio club should check out this Paranoid Newsletter and, you know, send some donations to Metzger, so who will send it to this guy and give him an incentive for putting this stuff out there. I think he's doing a great service.
Paranoid Newsletter is no longer in publication due to the incarceration of the editor. Yeah.
To bring yourself up to speed, well said, and I need to do that. This newsletter consists of concentrated technical information. In order to survive in a high-tech society, you will simply have to learn how technology works, or you will be left behind. He's talking to me now. He's definitely describing me, and I definitely need to do that. We intend for this newsletter to give you a basic understanding and introduction to the material presented. You will have to do follow-up research and understand the subject matter completely. If you do independent research, you will be better prepared than those who seek to use this technology against you. As a small unit or independent operator, you are required to have a superior understanding of technology to defeat a large and well-funded enemy. Thank you for reading our 7th edition. Okay, so if you want to know about FLIR and stuff like that, it's the 7th edition of the Paranoid Newsletter.
We have about 10 to 11 issues of that Paranoid Newsletter before it went out of print. So if you send a small donation, though, we'll send you copies.
By future and archived editions. Sure, you can trust the government. Just ask an Indian. We work with a separate organization that allows us to maintain our privacy and acts as a cashier for sales and donations. Please refer to the Paranoid Newsletter and all your correspondence. Otherwise, the staff will confuse your correspondence with another newsletter. Send email to tom_metzger@yahoo.com. Note the quotation character is not a space. I don't know what that means. What time it is? It's Grievous time. Grievous. General Grievous. Right. Last show I finished reading a letter that General Grievous wrote in regards to Sir John Harding taking over the British occupying force as the commanding general. And basically, Grievous said that nothing changed. I mean, all the havoc and chaos he was causing under Sir Robert Armitage, he was just as successful under when John Harding took over the British command. He was just as successful because he was fighting a guerrilla war. He wasn't holding ground. He was attacking villages with small numbers, no more than 5 or 6. And he gave him hell. It is well to remember Grievous was talking about a campaign based primarily on terrorism and sabotage, fought on a small island affording little space for maneuver, and aimed at political rather than military effect. He was not trying to build self-sustaining guerrilla base areas or to reach the ultimate guerrilla goal. Impossible in Cyprus, because it's just too small. of an equalization of military forces. In terms of Cyprus, small guerrilla units can be treated as expendable. They were expendable in precisely the way that terrorists are expendable, who do not seek to build a military force, but rather to produce political and psychological effects, often by sacrificing themselves. General Grivas clearly used his urban and rural groups in interaction. When he wished to conduct a campaign in the countryside, he raised big political demonstrations in the towns that kept the troops occupied there on riot duty. While his guerrilla groups made lightning attacks on rural objects, let me read that sentence again. Grivas clearly used his urban and rural groups in interaction. When he wished to conduct a campaign in the countryside, he raised big political demonstrations in the towns that kept the troops occupied there on riot duty, while his guerrilla groups made lightning attacks on rural objects. Smart. Keep the forces tied up with what could... I mean, they got to have a lot of troops on duty there, you know, in the event of a riot. So since most of those guys are occupied, they could strike targets that aren't so well defended or maybe in isolated areas. Very smart. When he was planning a new drive in the cities, he created diversions in the countryside that brought the troops out. This next word, brought the troops out in intense, RATISSAGES. I don't know what that is. It's obviously a French word. My resources were meager and I could not hope to win a military victory, he writes. It was rather a question of raising a force and keeping it and being no matter what the enemy did to destroy it. This and more was achieved in the first 6 months. On his arrival in Nicosia, Harding made a cursory attempt to negotiate with Archbishop Makarios. When the negotiations broke down within a few days, Grivas ordered a full-scale EOKA offensive. New attacks were launched against village. Turning the page. I bet it's police. Village police stations in an effort to draw out the enemy. EOKA men raided the Mitsero mine and escaped with 1,500 sticks of dynamite, 600 detonators, and 3,000 yards of fuse. Another raiding party invaded the military warehouses in Famagusta Harbor, bound and gagged the watchmen, and drove off with a truckload of British arms, Bren guns, Stens, mortars, and bazookas. That's a nice haul. Political agitation was intensified, and the British worsened the situation for themselves by ill-advised attempts to prevent public demonstrations. The timing of the announcement that Michael Cariolis, the first hero of the revolution, had been sentenced to death could not have been worse. The announcement came on October 28th, a national holiday marking the refusal of Greece to surrender to the Axis powers in 1940. Harding banned any sort of public demonstration. Grivas responded by calling on Cyprus to defy the ban, and a series of bloody clashes result. Troops opened fire on the riotous crowd and wounding three men, and there were more than 1,000 arrests, jamming the jails of the principal towns as a result of street fighting. You know what? They wanted to hold a demonstration to honor this one guy who was like the first, who was a martyr for their cause. The police banned demonstrations. So, Grivas sent this man out to say, hey, defy the ban. We got to honor this guy. They can't tell us how we can have our celebrations and this and that. And it resulted in bloody clashes. Now, what can we do with Tea Party stuff in regards to that? These Tea Party people, they go out and they have their demonstrations, and then everyone goes home, and they feel like they've accomplished something. They feel like just because they said some not kind words to some politician or whatever, they think that they're really doing something. And you got Fox News and other outlets saying, oh, how angry the American people are. Well, mainly Fox. It's kind of been blocked out. The Tea Party thing's kind of been blocked out on NBC, CNN, and ABC. Always telling the American people, oh, the American people are so angry right now. And now these Tea Party people, they go there and they chant and they shout and they think that they've accomplished something. I'm telling you, they haven't accomplished nothing. What can we do with the Tea Party thing? Remember, we're not about order anymore. We're about disorder. And I hope that doesn't offend your sensibilities. In fact, if you're one of these Bible-thumping people but are racially minded, doesn't it say somewhere, and I think 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy of the New Testament, doesn't it say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Timothy a letter, say, doesn't he say that that God is not a God of disorder, but a God of order, and bringing in all these non-whites into white lands in the United States and other parts of the white diaspora, isn't that leading to disorder? So, since they are purposely sowing disorder because the race is so vastly different, like our race from the black race and the Hindus and the Pakistanis, it's just not conducive to peace and harmony that we stay in the same geographic location. They are sowing disorder. So why not meet disorder with disorder? Kind of like your freedom in this realm of madness would be to embrace that madness, make it your own, and turn it back on them. They've done everything they can to destroy us. White women now just can't wait to get to college and then pose for some Girls Gone Wild video showing their breasts and their ass. White women now go to college, you know, they think, well, I'm in college now, I'm going to live the wild life, and they mate with non-whites so they can talk about it when they're older, when they're with their rich neighbors. Oh yeah, I went slumming once too. Everything is on its head right now. We live in a world that's just gone insane. Every time the sun comes up every day, it's a heretic sun. We live in a world of heresy, but we're being called the heretics. You know, I'm not sure what the pagan symbol of the black sun stands for. But I'll tell you what. We need to bring chaos to the people who are destroying us. You guys who have done the smart thing, kept your identity, kept a low profile, and kept your identity off a lot of law enforcement radars, you guys could do some good things in your own area, you know. Got to read those newspapers and listen to the news, the local news, when you're driving in your car, so you can do what you can to find out what's going on. And now we got Black History Month coming up. And there's going to be a lot of white people kissing black ass. You need to identify them. You may not hear this tape until April, so. Well, anyways, there's a lot of stuff that can be done in your own area. Get on the internet and do a search on the immigration lawyers in your area. And use your ghost phone? Make an appointment? You briefly tell them, I want to talk to you about how I can keep my girlfriend in the country. She's from Mexico, but she's very paranoid. I want her to be at peace. So you go meet with the immigration lawyer using an alias. And you call him some unnice words and you walk out. You're not going to cause him any harm, are you? No, we're not going to do that. We're not about that. So we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. Carpe noctem, seize the night. Starve the sheep inside you and feed the wolf. And remember, shield wall and wolf heart. Remember, you can't have 14 words without Rahoa. Can't have 14 words in our racial holy war. This is Radio Rahoa.
Well, that's it for Sling Blade for this week, and we'll be back with you probably next week with another Sling Blade show. Back show. Like I say, some of those phone numbers, except P.O. Box 401 and my email address and so forth, are not usable anymore. So you'll find that on a lot of these tapes. So just disregard. Like I say, Paranoid Newsletter, we got out about 11 issues, and that was it. The response was terrible. I don't know what people are doing out there as far as educating themselves. Anyhow, we have some back issues around here and available if you want to send a donation and get them. I think there's 11 issues. That's it for now. We'll be back, and remember, tomorrow is the first day. Tomorrow is first day of autumn, and it was a sacred time with the Northern European people. And I'll be back on Moonsday with another show. 14-5. And shut up.
If you gather round me, people, the story I will tell about pretty boy Florida and outlaw Oklahoma and him well. Was in the town of Shawnee, was all out of news, his wife beside him in a wagon. And in the town they rode, there's a man beneath the proposed him, and a man around the room using vulgar words of language. And his wife, she overheard. Honey boy grabbed the law cane, and the deputy grabbed his gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. He took to the hills in timber to live the life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. There's many a starving farmer, the same old story told, how this old law paid the mortgage to save the little home. Others tell you of a stranger that comes to beg a meal, and underneath a napkin laughs $1,000 bill. Was in Oklahoma City on a Sunday afternoon, from a whole carload of groceries, and a letter that did say, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Well, here's a Christmas dinner for the family's own relief. To this world I ramble, say lots of funny mess. Some will rob you with a six gun, some with a fountain pen. But as soon as world I ramble, the city is the world I roam. I ain't never seen an outlaw. Now the family's from their home. the brand new people, and I saw the Irish town. Fast pretty boys floating out long. Oklahoma knew him well.